Welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. Star Wars is really doing a number at the box office. I tell you, they're just raking in the money hand over fist. Let me see. Up to date, are you ready for this? $158.4 million. Holy cow. Star Wars, or is it all fact? Is it fiction? Or is there a little bit of reality thrown in? When it comes to the movies, it seems that every movie that has something to do with space always has war. Star Wars, you had, Star Trek, you had the Klingons, you had this person fighting that person, you had phaser beams, you had laser beams, you had this, that, and the other thing. But when it comes down to reality, what is happening up there? Is there going to be weapons in space? First guest on tonight's show is Dr. Carol Sue Rosen. She is an award-winning educator, child psychologist, futurist, international speaker, author, military strategist, space and missile defense consultant. According to Military Space Magazine in July 84, they said that Rosen is regarded to be the original political architect to move to stop the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, and ASATs, that's the anti-satellite weapons, military space, and she's also the president of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. She holds a bachelor degree from the University of Delaware, an honorary doctorate degree in humanities from Archbishop Solomon Gabido of Nigeria. Tell me, Dr. Rosen, when it comes to weapons in space, is Dr. Rosen there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. I just heard a dial tone. I thought maybe you were abducted by the CIA because they know what you're going to do on this show. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you.
It's very good having you here, Doctor. When it comes to weapons in space, there's a number of us who believe that they're already up there.
There are not operational weapons in space. This is one of the pieces of the disinformation campaign. You can believe either that they are up there or that it's impossible to stop them, so you should go home and forget about it, or that they're years down the road, so forget about it. You don't really have to worry about it. That's, there are several ways of distracting people from focusing on this very important issue. The fact is they are accelerating the program, the powers that be, who have vested interests, and there are a number of reasons why they want them in space. Some are obvious, some are not so obvious. But that program is accelerating. They could put them up. They're imminent. And the good news is that May 18th, just a few days ago, Congressman Dennis Kucinich reintroduced his bill to ban weapons from space. And we intend to get this issue now on the table in main discussion areas. It's H.R. 2420, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, and it is designed to preserve the cooperative peaceful uses of outer space that have been going on for the last 50 years and to get this technology applied for the benefits of all humankind and the environment by prohibiting the basing of operational weapons in space.
Now, how are we going to do that with other countries? You know, what we do with the United States is one thing, but how can we dictate to other countries around the world what they can do in outer space?
Great question. Actually, there's not another country in the world who is aggressively working to weaponize space, and every country in the world has at some point or another through history said that they do not want weapons in space, except the United States. And in fact, Congressman Kucinich also has done something really unique for a congressman who usually is dealing with U.S.-type legislation. He's gone to Canada at the invitation of the former Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer, and introduced a companion treaty to his Space Preservation Act, to this bill. The companion treaty is now on the floor of the Canadian Parliament. So we're just beginning now to build a new movement. The one that I helped start back in 82, 83, was more of a protest movement to stop Star Wars.
But isn't Red China already working on their own Star Wars system? Apparently they're building their own GPS system in preparation for their own deployment of weapons in space.
I'm an official advisor to the People's Republic of China, and I'm really glad you asked that question because there's such a misinterpretation of what the Chinese are doing. In fact, of course, if the U.S. proceeds, as usual, the other countries of the world who are being identified as potential enemies or who are being antagonized or blackmailed in one way or another, if you don't work on this, you won't get extended business and trade, a seat in NATO, technology transfer, or any one of a number of other temptations that are being offered, technology transfer included, then these countries will, for one reason or another, even if it's just a defensive posture, begin to work on similar technologies, even perhaps try to leapfrog the technology of the U.S. But one way or another, and I'm sorry to say this because I used to love living in this country. I've now moved out of the country, as have many of my friends who started movements.
Where do you live now, Doctor?
I'm now living in Ecuador, in the Andes, in a beautiful place where there's clean water, only organic food, clean air, no air traffic. In fact, over the valley in which I'm living and huge mountains surrounding it, and sweet people. And this is how Mother Earth is supposed to be. And by the way, if anyone would like to come visit, we're having meetings. We also got a hotel as part of our office called Mother Earth, Madre Tierra, Mother Earth in Spanish.
All right, stand by, Dr. Rosen. We have to take a break here. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Doctor, you're a consultant to Red China who lives in Ecuador and is concerned about weaponry in space being launched in space and put into space by the U.S. This is a rather contradictory triangle we've got going here.
In what way?
Well, for example, Red China is not an ally to the U.S.
Actually, they are an ally to the U.S. They're, I really believe, having worked with 120 countries on this issue, at least myself, that the rest of the world is ready to sign a treaty to not escalate weaponry into space.
Isn't Red China
about these countries in a context of an old game, but there's
isn't Red China a communist
too.
Country?
Pardon me?
Isn't Red China communist?
And do you remember us calling Russia China?
No, you're not communist? Answering my question, Doctor. Is Red China communist?
It's some people are communists, some people are Democrats, some people are nothing.
Is the government of Red China communist?
Yes, and we also know that they are the Middle Kingdom and they would like to be living in peace. They're very far away. Most Americans have never even been there. Those who have come back, like many of us did, who were citizen diplomats who first went to Russia before the government people did. I helped organize the first 9 senators to go to Russia. And what we found was is that the people and most people in the government would like to be getting along. But here's what's happened. And having been a corporate manager of an aerospace defense company and, as you mentioned, a space and missile defense consultant, mm-hmm. I really got to get into this game. And there are formulas. We have to have an enemy because our system in this country is based on the war game.
So what are we doing, making up enemies just to have the war game continue?
Yes, actually that's what's happening, and that's what caused me to resign from my position in 1977 when the Gulf War was being planned. And I sat waiting for the Gulf War just a few months before it happened, before anyone was talking about it, because there was a certain amount in the SDI budget. It was about to emerge. You see, the formula includes you have to dump your old weapons, test the new ones, and rationalize the budgets for the next set of weapons. Check out each war, and you'll see that pattern has happened.
All right, Doctor, isn't it possible that there are weapons in space?
No, there are people that we know who are working on this issue and have been for many years. Yes, they have tried to test some. No, there are no operational weapons in space.
How do we know that?
Because we can verify it. We can see everything that's in space with our technology. We can also see levels down into the Earth, what's going on into the Earth. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do now is apply that technology for verification of arms agreements so that we can reduce and inevitably eliminate weapons on the planet instead of focusing on which ones there are. It's kind of like natural healing. If you're focusing on the problem, you may end up with a problem and it may get worse. But if you start to focus on the solutions, and we can do that with high technology now, we actually can continue with space exploration, research and development, testing, manufacturing, production that's not related to space-based weapons or weapon systems.
All right, we can do that because we have the technology here in North America. However, there are many countries around the world that don't have that technology, and yet these guys want atomic reactors because thanks to atomic reactors, they can then put themselves into the position of having atomic weapons.
Yes, of course, and that's been the old game that I'm talking about. We also can now use civil, commercial, and military-related technologies, including those nuclear technologies turned into alternative technologies. And there are many people who are knowledgeable about alternative technologies, like using satellites instead of as force multipliers in a war game where you're aiming weapons to use to enhance wars. You can use them for surveillance, reconnaissance, early warning, remote sensing, observation. You can actually verify agreements on the Earth and also see what's in space. We know everything that's in space. We also know everything that's going on in the Earth. But this information is kept quiet. In fact, that's why people talk about disclosing. A lot of information has been disclosed, but it hasn't been officially acknowledged. Thanks to the space age technology, now is the time when we have a chance to make the decision to either escalate the same old mentality and conversation into the space frontier, or to literally get this bill and treaty signed into law, which would cause second order change, not first, which is our educating, talking about this to a state of nausea. But we can also choose to get these laws passed and transform the entire, listen, war industry into a space industry that can be applied directly, not just as spin-offs, to solving the urgent problems of humans, the environment, new energy. These technologies exist right now. Now, that's
all right, stand by, Doctor. We have to take our news break at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Cal Rosin's our special guest. Her website is www.peaceinspace.com. I don't know about you. My philosophy is a strong offense is a good defense. I'd rather have the missiles up there than the guys across the Great Pond. My name is Rob McConnell. You're listening to the X-Zone Radio Show live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our family of affiliates throughout the U.S. and Canada. Talking about weapons in space. Doctor, what organization do you get your information from that there are no weapons in space?
Oh, I've been working with the Military Industrial Lab, University Intelligence, NASA, and other international space agencies, government and government's complex for about 35 years. And have done nothing day and night but focus on this issue from the technological, social, psychological, economic, all of the different viewpoints. So I've had a staff of people that have focused on this, and they're all experts in different fields. And we work together with people in the military-industrial complex. It isn't that we're putting a competitive or an aggressively negative viewpoint towards each other. We're all working very closely. Most of the people in the complex actually do not want weapons in space, and that's why we stay very close on updating each other. Of course, you can find the rumors, the disinformation, misinformation, and they can be passed through footnotes and speakers forever.
Why is President Bush...
who are working on building and maintaining the cooperative version of this technology and the applications of it, it's very clear what we can do now and what exists.
Why does the president want weapons in space?
I think that it's not just the president. This effort has gone on for about 50 years. And the reasons are, of course, you can call it for national security, and I'm not opposed to a strong national defense, but you have to have a global system to have a defensive system these days.
Well, wait a second. Some people have a belief system, actually,
that they want Armageddon to happen.
Hold on here. What we're saying, then, is we have to all hold hands, hold flowers, in order to get this world in order.
No, it's not going to work like that, Doctor.
It's not going to work like that. That's a pipe dream.
Yeah, I've never said that. Don't say it now. I am an honorary Marine. I work with the military, and we work for a strong defense. But what we see is that we have the technology to either destroy ourselves, and we're very close to doing that from any one of a number of man-made or natural disasters, some intentional, some accidental, or we have the choice of working together in a world system using that same technology. And I've given long speeches to top-level military intelligence people who all agree with that. If you talk with them separately in a group, they're playing in the old context. But we're all helping each other design a new vision that exists now. So even though it's a new vision for most people, they don't know about it because they're hearing about all the problems, the deficits, the wars, and they're seeing the next enemy get identified and the next war happen, the next destruction, and it's getting really bad. And there are earth changes. There are things happening that I don't focus on because if I did, I'd be so depressed I wouldn't want to live on the planet either. But what I see is that around the world, where there are people working in the complex with this new vision, and that's why I know that right now, if people will all get on the same page and just try this, get this bill and treaty signed into law that will ban all weapons from space, the Space Preservation Act and Space Preservation Treaty, it's very simple to read it. You will see what can be done within the complex.
Doctor,
you'll also see a vision of many other treaties and bills that have been incorporated into these documents that are working now and will work.
Doctor, what makes you think the U.S. or any other country is actually going to abide by any treaties that they sign, for God's sake? We know for a fact that weapons of mass destruction have been used by the U.S. and Britain in the Gulf Wars. They're not being held accountable because they're the big ship on the planet. You can't touch them. They are untouchables.
Great question. In the bill, the Space Preservation Act, there's a clause that calls on the president to work on an international treaty. The international treaty that's companion to this bill has something that's never been in any other document. It actually identifies and calls for the technology to be used for verification to reduce and inevitably eliminate these weapons, to bring the world together to apply these technologies for solving the urgent problems on the planet. There is now, for the first time in history, technology available to us to verify these agreements. And if that clause, that ability, hasn't even existed before. So now we have one chance in time. Is it not worth it to take that chance and go for this treaty, get it signed? And by the way, the Outer Space Treaty of 67 worked for years and only five countries signed it. This one requires 20 countries to sign it, but the rest of the world is already involved in an interrelated, interactive, cooperative space system.
How are you going to enforce it?
In fact, it's going to be enforced by the fact that it's being enforced right now. The fact is, the world is working together. We know what each other's doing. We're communicating. All we have to do is enhance with intention to build a cooperative system rather than a confrontational one based on that old, very, very low level of consciousness, which separates us, calls for isolation, anger, fear.
All right, so why do we still have the military then, if everything is going so grand?
The military is great. They're very well organized. They're very structured. They're well funded, and they're pretty smart, and they're dedicated people.
And plus, they're also a damn good deterrent.
But they, once again, are based on the old context. In a new context, look at what they're doing. They want to. I've spoken with them, given speeches to them, met with them in big meetings. They want to continue to pave the safe way into space and use their technology to solve problems on the planet. The military guys and gals love to go in and bring in food and medicine and candy. They do not want to go to war and get their limbs blown off. There's a handful of them that kind
of
like
sure, they don't
want
to go to war and get their limbs blown off, but they're a hell of a deterrent, aren't they? They show that we have the power. Cross us, we'll annihilate you.
That's
it's
a very old way of thinking, and I understand it. But we also have the power.
That's reality.
To solve
We've got to take a commercial break here, Ed. Thank you.
Forces.
My name is Rob McConnell. This is The X Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. If you it's really nice to have these ideas where we're all going to live in utopia, we're going to hold hands, sing kumbaya, and we won't have to worry about a sneak attack. It's never happened in the history of this planet, and according to sociologists, it'll never happen.
If I thought that in the terms of utopia, I would have been invited to be the first woman corporate manager of an aerospace company and a space and missile defense consultant and so on, all the background that I have in that field, mm-hmm. I don't think that way at all. I sound like an optimist, but in fact, I'm pretty pessimistic because of the human ego, and sometimes I really believe what one of the astronauts said to me just the other day, that the human species is just basically stupid. But I don't want to say that.
Didn't take an astronaut to figure that out.
Yeah, and you know what? I am included in that because I went for years doing building a protest movement, mm-hmm. focusing on exactly what I didn't want. And what I learned was that we can continue with that kind of approach. And in fact, maybe we're going to. That's where my depression and pessimism comes in. But I've met so many tens of thousands of people. Every month, I'm getting over 10,000 emails. And these are people saying, wow, you mean there is another way that's realistic, that isn't based on dropping your weapons. It's based on step-by-step approach to getting the ban on space-based weapons, which will cause second-order change and allow the military-industrial lab, university, and so on complex to continue with more jobs and profits, products and services than during any war time, hot or cold, with a stronger security system than during any wartime that's based on weapons and fear and identifying enemies. When I started out, we were identifying the Russians as the enemies and terrorists, third world country crazies, nations of concern, asteroids. Now we're protecting our assets in space. And the next card that Wernher von Braun, whom I gave speeches for 3.5 years, said they're holding is to say that the extraterrestrials, the aliens, are the next enemy, because we always have an enemy that we're identifying. You may have noticed, depending on how long you've lived, you've seen a lot of them.
Well, sure.
And none of them are hostile. The fact is, we all have different belief systems. We have different cultures. They're beautiful. We have music, dance. We have the arts and culture. But what are we doing? Squashing it. It's not even in the budget.
I think you'd have your hands full trying to sell that bill of goods to war veterans who
not at all.
The
war veterans are the ones that handed me, when I went in to debate General Daniel Graham mm-hmm. years ago on the Larry King show, yeah. a leaky umbrella. You
doctor,
may have remembered
doctor,
the leaky
you,
umbrella
doctor,
campaign.
Doctor, you do a lot of name dropping, mm-hmm. a lot of it, and that doesn't impress me.
Mm-hmm.
What impresses me is honesty and integrity. Mm-hmm. And so far, you're doing a lot of skating here.
All right, what would you like to hear? Because I feel like I'm one of the most honest people that I know.
What I'd like to hear, Doctor, without the name dropping, is, number one, you're talking about weaponry in space, but what about the weaponry that is already here on Earth? What about the ballistic missiles that are in silos throughout the United States, Canada, Russia, all the countries of the world? What are we going to do about that? That's an immediate problem, because if you get one wacko who pushes a button, it's game over. You won't have to worry about Star Wars.
You are so right, and I am not in any way denying the fact that we have these horrible weapons and more growing up to the point of psychotronic mind control, control weapons that can control your mind, body, make you sick, well, act, think in individuals and in crowds. I mean, some of the weapons that are on the drawing boards are even more horrific than the ones you're describing.
Sure,
you've got antiquated.
You've got SLAR, you've got HARP, you've got weapons that are presently, like you said, not only on the drawing boards, but on the testing, in the final testing stages.
Yes, and do you think that building more of them is going to make us more secure? I don't think so.
No, I don't, Doctor, but what I've heard over the last hour is we have to worry about what's in space when right here on this planet, we are ready to explode.
Well, you know, we worked for years. Many peace activists have worked for decades to try to give peace a chance.
Mm-hmm.
What I see that's different now, just based on my own little piece of the experience that many people have had, is that we have one chance in history to ban weapons from space, which means that this will not escalate to that vast place above all our heads. And there is a place where we can all jump in and focus on that page. And I know that we're all working on many issues. Many people are protesting great workers on these other ones, but there is something that we can actually accomplish, and if we don't, I don't see a way that that will ever stop. What I do see is a way that if we can get this ban on space-based weapons, it will put a literal lid on the war machine. Then we can all focus on getting that same technology that's being used in war games now to be applied in some way, either reducing and eliminating the ones on Earth that you're talking about, or applying the technologies that have dual use or more than dual use to solving the problems, including the verification that we never applied to, in fact, in building a global security system that's based on cooperation instead of the confrontation that makes the mind create those technologies that are just extensions of the mind and that way of thinking. So from my perspective, I'm not saying they're not there. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I do not want them to continue and certainly don't want them above all of our heads.
No, wait a sec. Hold on here. I never said I didn't want them to continue. When I see our armies going to fight the enemy, I want them to have the best weapons possible. I want them to make it fast. I want them to make it to the point where they come home safe and sound. Hit hard, win, come home.
You know, I was one of the, and I'm not meaning to be tooting my horn here, I want to give you an experience, one of the first people to get off a plane, women, by myself in Russia, when they were considered to be the enemy in the early 70s. And what I found was, going there, going to Africa, going to China, you can find people in high-level government positions, if you just go in and talk rather than confront, who are willing to build some sort of joint venture, like the Apollo-Soyuz, which was built and agreed to during the time when the Russians were considered to be the enemy in the Cold War. You can build cooperative ventures, and when you start doing that, you've got your table tennis going on, and the military guys are working very well together around the world, but they've been applying it to a war game. Isn't it better? Don't you think that we have a choice right now of putting weapons in space or not? And wouldn't it be better if we didn't put them in space, since they would not make us more secure? Things would only get worse on the planet, because it's that same mentality, that same way of thinking.
Well, you know, Doctor, we'll come back in a couple of minutes and finish this off. I believe they're already up there. You can give me the statistics. You can tell me until you're blue in the face that they're not, but I believe they are, and so do a number of our listeners. I'll be back on the other side of this break. I am just getting inundated with IM and emails from listeners around the world. A number of the emails I am getting are from the military. They claim to be members of the military, but my experience has been is that the military is not allowed to say what they think. So we'll just have to take that on face value, but a number of the emails that are coming in is they're saying we would feel that if there are weapons in space and they are there, they would be a better deterrent than anything else. That's what the listeners are saying, Doctor.
Yes, I understand that so well. I was taught the same way. That's how I got into the industry job. But what I know, and I think we all are beginning, many of us, I should say, are beginning to expand our consciousness and awareness to see that these weapons are not a deterrent. People then, in the next country, the next identified enemy, are getting more and more angry, and they will come up with ways, and they don't have to be sophisticated ways, of crashing into a building.
But, Doctor, why are they getting so upset about weapons in space? Why aren't they getting upset about the aircraft carriers that are around the world that are carrying nuclear weapons, that are nuclear powered? What about the strategic bombers that are all carrying nuclear weapons? What about the stealth bomber, the B-1 or the B-2, whatever it's called, that carries nuclear weapons? They don't seem to be upset about this. It's just the weaponry in outer space. Is this because they don't have the technology?
No, I don't think it is just the weapons in outer space, actually. I think it's all weapons. And I think what's happening is that some people can't get out of that weapons conversation. I've had long conversations, because I've been a registered Republican with my Republican friends, and they can't get out of the fear factor that there are enemies and they're going to come and get us, and we need more and more weapons. There are people that just cannot get out of that.
Well, Doctor, can you blame them after September the 11th? Can you blame them after September 11, 2001?
No. Well, that's one little incident. I think that we could anticipate a lot more. But look what's happening all over the world. I mean, there are 35, 40, 50 wars going on at any minute.
Sure.
That's what's happening. What I'm saying is that there are plenty of people, maybe not some of the listeners who are writing in saying they want more weapons to supposedly deter us, cause us mutual assured destruction, whatever their reasons are.
Right.
I've debated these debates for 30-some years. That's an ongoing conversation that can, to me, be left at the dinner table. What's more interesting to me is, are there enough people out there who are willing to go to Russia, go to China, go and meet with the people, the leaders, get as high, you're only three or four people away from anyone you want to meet, is the formula I've always used, and see how high you can go, talk with people in a non-confrontational way, and develop cooperative ventures that will supersede that other thing where you're focused on, oh, my God, I have more weapons for more deterrence and to protect me and make us strong and protect our assets and our countries and our kids and whatever. We're building in a weapons mentality. We've been carefully taught, all of us. But I'm hearing from the people who are creating another reality, and it's really exciting and much more fun. I love the music that you're playing. It's so fitting to what we're talking about each section. Imagine that we did that in international meetings. We'd be having a blast. We have the international dancers come out. This may sound like Pollyanna, but it isn't, because I'm going to meetings where they're taking place, where this is happening. And the emails that I get are totally supportive of this new direction. And in fact, that's how we have emerged with, in the middle of one of the biggest war times in history, a bill and a treaty that will put a lid on the war machine, allow it to...